which fell all the way down to case number 6. That's 22-490. That is a Waterbury case.
Not charge.
Sergeant, can you please identify yourself and your record spelling, last names?
It's Sergeant Kenneth, K-E-R-O-A-C-K, of the Waterbury Police Department, representing Chief Fernando Spagnolo. And to my left is my witness, Lieutenant Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Alden, A-L-D-E-N.
Thank you, Sergeant. Would you like to start by making a brief introductory statement?
The appellant applied to the Waterbury Police Department on October 7, 2021. He was denied for suitability on November 5, 2021 for numerous suicide attempts, mental health issues, drug use, 911 calls for disorderly conduct, and threats to kill his parents. I will present the details of these incidents in detail to support our denial.
Thank you, Sergeant. Sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes, I would. I will be showing, I will be getting contact with self-harm suicide attempts relating to, they were roughly 15 to 16 years ago now. I will also, my father is here to testify regarding the alleged threats. And I will address the other incidents as well.
Thank you. Right, Sergeant, you may proceed.
Sure. For my first incident, on January 23rd, 2014, the Waterbury Police were dispatched to the appellant's residence for a 911 call from the appellant's mother because the appellant was on drugs and flipping out. The investigating officer on scene noted the appellant was on numerous medications for a traumatic brain injury and on some type of illegal drug. Next incident, on April 29th, 2013, the Waterbury Police Department were dispatched to the appellant's residence. The appellant's father called 911 dispatch, telling the dispatcher the appellant threatened him and his mother that if they didn't give him a cigarette, he would break loose. The appellant's father told the investigating officer the appellant suffers from PTSD and becomes enraged at times. For my next incident, Lieutenant Stephen Alden of the Waterbury Police Department will provide testimony about an investigation he conducted on February 18th, 2012, involving the appellant. Lieutenant, have you been sworn in and you understand you're under oath?
I have and I do.
Okay. What agency are you currently employed with and what is your current assignment?
I'm employed by the Waterbury Police Department, and my current assignment is the commander of the training division and the regional emergency response team.
How long have you been employed with the Waterbury Police Department?
Since 2008.
Were you working with the Waterbury Police Department on or about February 18th, 2012?
I was.
Do you recall an incident involving the appellant on this date?
I do.
Could you please provide details of that incident?
My partner and I were dispatched to a home on Norman Street for disorderly conduct, domestic violence type of incident, during which the appellant had made some threats to his mother and father. The incident derived from an argument over vehicle that was being used by the appellant, and the ensuing argument, the appellant actually threatened to kill both his mother and father. When we arrived, the one of the complainants, the mother, was very upset. She was breathing very heavy, crying, and based on our investigation, talking to the mother and the father, my partner and I decided to make an arrest for disorderly conduct.
Did you interview one parent or both parents on that scene?
As a matter of procedure, I interviewed both.
Thank you. That's all I have for this witness.
Just to keep some order here. Mr. Appellant, do you have any questions for the lieutenant based on what he just testified to?
Yes, I do. When you arrived, did you observe any threats yourself, or were you just told that there were threats?
No, I was told by both parties that the threats occurred.
I don't have any other questions.
Does the board have any questions for the witness? Colonel?
Do you recall how old the appellant was? I haven't done my math yet, I'm sorry.
I don't recall.
Okay, was it usually a disorderly conduct? You arrest him for disorderly conduct?
Correct.
Was it was a regular arrest, was it a summons or was it a referral?
Custodial arrest.
Okay.
Custodial arrest.
All right, so he would have been over 16 then?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yes, sir.
Thank you.
As a matter of...
20 and a half.
Oh, he's 20, okay.
Colonel, that was in the packet on number 3.
Yep, I just haven't caught up on that. Yep. That was it. Thank you.
Chief?
Can you describe the threats? You know, he said he threatened his parents. Did he say, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to stab you, I'm going to run you over the car? What were the nature of the threats?
I think it was more, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, threats, more of not specific in nature. So I can't give any specifics as far as that.
All right, thanks.
Other questions by the board? Sergeant, you may continue.
Okay. On September 14th, 2011, the appellant's mother dialed 911 because the appellant hadn't taken his medication that day and was acting out of sorts. When the appellant's mother called 911, the appellant left the house on foot. The appellant's mother told the investigating officer the appellant had a traumatic brain injury and at times gets angry because of it. The investigating officer located the appellant a short time later. The appellant told the officer he didn't take his medications because he forgot. On August 22nd, 2011, the appellant's mother called Waterbury PD 911 because the appellant locked himself in his room. The investigating officer spoke to the appellant. The appellant said he was upset because his mother kept nagging him and asking questions about an incident that happened a week prior. The appellant explained he went out drinking the week prior and his mother was upset about it, wanting to talk about it. On July 7, 2011, the appellant's mother called Waterbury PD 911, stating the appellant is out of control, slamming doors, cursing at her, has bipolar disorder, and is scared of him. Upon arrival, the investigating officer spoke to the appellant's mother. The appellant's mother said the appellant threatened to harm himself the day prior and has anger issues, is bipolar from a brain injury, and that he's addicted to Monster energy drinks. On July 7, 2010, the Waterbury Police Department were dispatched to the appellant's resident on an attempted suicide complaint. The appellant's mother called 911 stating the appellant had cut himself and was bleeding a lot. The appellant told the investigating officer he cut his left bicep because he was upset and stressed out. The appellant also said he did not take his medication for depression and anxiety. On May 11, 2009, the Waterbury Police were dispatched to the appellant's residence for a suicide attempt complaint. The investigating officer spoke to the appellant. The appellant stated he was mad because his sister told him to stop smoking, so he grabbed an ornamental sword and attempted to cut himself. The investigating officer also spoke to the complainant, the appellant's father. The appellant's father said the appellant has attempted suicide before and his actions today caused him to believe that the appellant may harm himself. As a result of that investigation, a police emergency committal was completed and he was transported to the hospital. On December 7, 2008, the Waterbury Police were dispatched to the appellant's residence for a suicide attempt complaint. The appellant's mother told the investigating officer the appellant expressed to her that he is very depressed and said he wanted to die. She stated that tonight the appellant read her a note that expressed suicidal thoughts and stated he wanted to jump off a bridge. She said that he then began to cut his left wrist numerous times with a knife and locked himself inside of a room. The officer observed according to the police report, that there were several small cuts to his left wrist. On April 29, 2008, the Waterbury police were dispatched to the appellant's residence for a suicide attempt. The appellant tried to cut his wrist with a metal sword. He said, "I want to see how sharp the sword is. I want to see how sharp the sword is so I could cut my throat." Those are all the incidents I have.
Mr. Appellant, do you have any questions for the sergeant?
Yes. The incident in 2010, if I heard you correctly, you said that my mother was the one who called 911. On 7-7 of 2010.
Sergeant, if it'll help you, the issuing authority questionnaire says the mother called.
Say that again?
The issuing authority questionnaire says that?
I had the dispatch report, but unfortunately back in 2010 they chopped off some of the names.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct.
That was the only question I had related to that. In the cases, 8/22/2011, 9/14/2011, and 7/7/2011, when police responded, did I state any suicidal intentions or refuse to cooperate with the EMS and police at the time?
What date are you referring to?
9/14/2011, 8/22/2011, and 7/7/2011.
What was your question again?
Whether I cooperated with the EMS and police, whether I was taken to the hospital for self-harm or anything.
Let's try to keep it one quick. You're asking of several dates and several questions, so.
Understood.
Yeah, so the first question was with regards to three different dates?
Yes.
Okay, and it's whether you cooperated?
Yes.
Okay, let's start with that.
I think there was a couple questions there. I have no proof that you didn't cooperate in any of those incidents. As far as, did you go to the hospital on the 9/14/11? You were transported by ambulance to the hospital for the 911 call that you were out of sorts and you weren't taking your medication. There was a transport for that one. And what was the other date? That was 9/14/2011.
Okay. 8/22 and 7/7, all the three 2011 dates.
8/22. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
52, that's the case number. 52672. On the 8/22/2011 incident, you did not go to the hospital. And doctor, what was the third one?
The 7/7/2011.
7/7/2011?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. On the 7/7/2011, that was anger issues, bipolar from a brain injury, addicted to Monster energy drinks. The appellant appeared to be a little shaken up and stated his... Yeah, he went by ambulance to Waterbury Hospital for that incident.
Then, at those incidents, what was the reason for going to the hospital that was given?
All three?
The two were I did. So it was the... 9/14/2011 and 7/7/2011.
So the first one where you were out of sorts, I would assume it was for mental health issues. The second one, I don't know.
Which date?
4/29/2013. There was no arrest made on that incident.
And on 1/23/2014, was there any arrest made or emergency committal?
No arrest, but because of the fact you smoked marijuana and had a seizure, you requested to go to the hospital to get checked out. Cambulan and ambulance transported you to Waterbury Hospital.
We have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, sir. Board, questions?
Sergeant, I and it was sort of difficult, but I counted four emergency committals. From the July of 2010, May of 2009, December of 2008, and April of 2008. Those are four emergency committals that seems to have occurred. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. I count five.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
Which was the?
5/11/2009 to St. Mary's, 7/7/2011 to Waterbury Hospital.
So which one in 2011?
7/7.
Let me just look, because that's the one I don't have. So I just want to look at that one.
9/14/2011 taken to Waterbury Hospital, and 1/23/2014 taken to Waterbury Hospital.
Yeah, but I was just wondering which ones are articulated as emergency committals.
So that was four.
They all would be. They all would be.
So 5/11/09, 7.
Yep. 5/11/2009, 7/7/2011, 9/14/2011, and 1/23/2014 resulted in ambulance transport to Waterbury Hospital. So those were all.
Yeah, but I don't see them. I don't see where it was articulated as a
emergency
committal in the report anywhere.
So I can answer that.
Okay.
I only had one emergency committal form. Some of these records are old, past retention, but I definitely had included one. The 17A503 statute, the police emergency examination request,
yep.
Only one. But we do have a crisis intervention.
I do see there's four that actually that articulated the case reports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's four that articulated.
Only one report attached to.
Yes,
to
yeah, but I did. I saw it in the notes though that four they articulated. Like on the 7/11, 7/7/2011, it says at this time, I believe it's the officer myself.
Mm.
Myself felt that Kyle was not a threat to himself or his others. I'm sorry, the appellant was not a threat to himself or his others. So I don't see where an emergency committal would be done.
In our packet, I see two written in here.
Yeah.
I think you said there's only one, but there are at least two. I didn't continue on.
So I don't see, I'm just for the record, I don't see one in the July of 11th one being a emergency committal.
How would you get to the hospital then, typically, in order to?
Voluntary.
Yeah, you could do voluntary.
Since he stated he wanted to go for stomach and vomiting issues.
Yeah. To be quite honest, it's a shortcut. If he voluntarily goes, then we don't have to complete that paperwork, just to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
The proper thing that a supervisor should do when there's mental health issues or suicide threats is order the officer to do that committal form for liability purposes and for the safety of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the proper way to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like in the September of 11th, the appellant asked, again, to go to the hospital because he wasn't feeling right. And I didn't see it articulated as an emergency committal for that one, so I counted four.
Yeah, that's
so just for the record,
good.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Other questions by the board?
I do.
Chief?
You presented a history of mental health issues involving suicide or disruptive behavior. Did the appellant provide any medical documentation at that time or a follow-up or even a more current exam?
No, I had a lengthy conversation prior to the this hearing, and that was some questions I had. And basically, you know, we had mention in here of a post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, multiple suicide attempts, bipolar disorder. So I had asked him about that history, and there was numerous incidents where there was claims that by his parents and himself that he wasn't med compliant. And I asked him about that history, and basically he said the only thing he has is a TBI, which I found that hard to believe. And I did ask him, you know, have you did a doctor say that, you know, they would feel comfortable with you carrying it? And he said he did not have that paperwork.
Because the board asked for it too, and I don't see it in our packet.
I believe, and he also asked for a continuation for that medical paperwork, if I'm correct. Because I had this, I had this scheduled for earlier. I was prepared to come, and I got a last minute extension that he needed medical paperwork.
Oh, so this hearing was scheduled prior, and
correct.
this is an extension.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
When was the prior hearing scheduled for? Do you remember? Or Nancy, do you have that?
Yeah. Hold, please. November 16th of 2023.
And there's no record of a request for continuance for today?
No.
Okay.
And no medical records were submitted?
No.
Other questions by the board?
Seeing none. Sergeant, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Mr. Appel, it's your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
Well, before you start, what town do you live in then?
I live in Waterbury.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks.
So the first thing I will address is the medical records. As you know, I did request that continuance. I applied to Waterbury Hospital requesting them. I was told after about a month and a half of waiting and having to resubmit documentation that they did not have those records. Everything was over 10 years old. No hospital keeps records past 10 years.
That's not right. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it, but that's... I know there are records greater than 10 years at...
That's just what I was told. Like, they were not able to produce the records. They were too old. Starting with the various instances, I want to start... I'm going to actually work from the oldest to the newest. Starting with 2008, as was stated, I had a brain injury in 2006. I was in the hospital for about a week and a half. And at that time, significant memory issues and difficulty concentrating. The 2008 429, I don't have a lot of memory of that. I don't recall threatening suicide, but I do roughly remember the event happening. I did receive, I'm sorry, the next one, 12/7/2008. I was treated for depression. I didn't attempt suicide, but I do see where my parents felt that I was going to. I was treated at that time, received counseling, and I was, at that point in time, on antidepressants. 5/11 of 2009, that was not a suicide attempt. I did attempt to cut my wrist, but I had no intention of taking my own life, and that was mentioned to the officers at the time.
Scratches.
They were scratches. Those three events were all within 2.5 years of that brain injury. Yes. Yeah. 7/7 of 2010, which is the incident where it was stated that my mother called emergency services because I had cut my shoulder. She did not. Her and my father were not home at the time. I came home, I called, I stated that I had unintentionally cut myself more than I had intended. I had meant to leave a scratch and I did much more damage than that. I made it clear to the responding officers that it was not a suicide attempt. I did go to the hospital to receive stitches and then I was released immediately following. I was not treated for any mental health on that particular day. The following three events, 7/7 of 2011, stated that I was acting out of sorts and I left the house walking. I went to my girlfriend's house. I informed my mother where I was going. Police spoke with me there. I called my mom later. I spoke with the officer that was speaking with her. And then I spoke to the officer at my girlfriend's house. I told him that I had been sick. And I asked to get checked out because I wasn't feeling right. There was no committal. I wasn't treated for mental health. I went. I believe I might have been given something for nauseousness. And then I was sent home. also, I would like to point out, I have never been diagnosed with bipolar. My mother believed that I was bipolar. That was her opinion. It was never a diagnosis. I was never on medication for it. On May 22, 2011, where my mother called the police because I had locked myself in a room. We were arguing. I did not want to have an argument. I went in my room. I shut the door. She wanted to continue speaking. When I refused, she called the police. When they arrived, I opened the door. I spoke with the responding officer. I believe that one of the somebody from crisis came out to speak as well. They determined that I was not a risk to myself or others. I didn't need to go to the hospital.
This is Jared Donovan.
They left. On 9/14/2011, that was also a medical assist where I was not suicidal. I also cooperated with the police and EMS. I also voluntarily went to the hospital that day. I had been sick the day before. I was still a little bit off that day, so I did voluntarily go. I do not recall words spoken the day before where it mentions that I was threatening self-harm or talking about self-harm. I don't have memory of that. However, there was no self-harm on this day in question. On 2/18/2012, I did not threaten my father. I did not attack him. We did argue. It was a pretty loud argument. And my mom called the police from another room. The case was later dropped. On 4/29/2013, we also argued. I did not make any physical threats. The expression that I believe it says in the report was that I said all hell will break loose. That's an expression my mom used regularly. I'm sure that she did word what I said that way, but I did not say that myself either to her or to the responding officer. They also attempted to cancel the call before the police came. They said that it was blown out of proportion. Police did not need to come. My mother, I believe, was informed that they still needed to come and verify. Upon doing so, they left. I was not arrested. I was not charged. I was not taken to the hospital. And finally, on 1/23/2014, I did smoke some marijuana. I was currently on an anti-seizure medication. It was later found that I had migraines and not seizures, but there was an interaction between that medication and the marijuana, and I did end up having a seizure. As a result, I went to the hospital. They did, before determining that it was a seizure, question, they had a mental health professional ask me questions. It was determined that a committal was not necessary, that it was an interaction between my medication, and then I went to the hospital to be checked out. I was sent home that night. As far as the two threats, I would ask my dad.
I want to keep it in order a little bit. So you're a witness, so I want to ask the sergeant if he has questions first, and then we'll get to your father.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any questions?
I do not.
Does the board have any questions for the opponent?
What was the anticonvulsant that you were on
I believe it was Depakote at the time. The person I was seeing, he tried a couple of other ones that I do not remember all of the names. They were ineffective. And then as of 2014, I was taken off of all of those medications. So but I haven't been on an antidepressant, seizure med, anything since 2014.
And was this a neurologist you were seeing? You know what specialty the
physician was? He was an APRN.
An APRN?
Yes.
In what field, though?
I do not know.
She's asking me what Todd's title
is. She's asking you, so if your father has information, we can go to him later, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
I do see a neurologist now for the migraines, but at that point in time, I was not. I was referred after that point, when around the time that I came off of those medications, to a neurologist. I started Botox injections for the migraines, and I do have a medication for if I get a migraine. That was in 2014.
And with reference to your TBI, where were you evaluated for that?
Initially at Waterbury, and then I was transferred to Connecticut Children's for a fractured eye. The side of my face was shattered at that point. Mm-hmm. Required surgery and was in the hospital for the better part of a week and a half.
There was brain swelling.
We have to keep order here. So we can ask you questions later. He's the witness right now, so we're asking him questions. If he doesn't know, he can't answer, but we can ask you later.
And do you recall, did you have neuropsychological testing to determine what the consequences of your TBI might have been?
So at the time, I was told that they did not have a way of knowing all of the potential issues, that every brain injury is different, and that it was essentially a wait-and-see kind of thing.
Well, typically, after a traumatic brain injury, there is neuropsychological testing that's done to ascertain if there are any areas that are malfunctioning. Do you recall seeing a neuropsychologist?
I do not.
Madam Chairman, mm-hmm. Chairperson?
Yes.
Is it all right if I ask the father a question?
Yes.
Do you recall, sir, whether your son had neuropsychological testing after his brain injury to ascertain the extent of the consequences of the injury?
They did not do, to my knowledge, they did not do neurological testing afterwards. But he was seen by a counselor for approximately a year. And that was the guidance center, correct, Todd?
I don't, not at that point in time. That was Todd, I believe, I was seeing.
Well, I took him to appointments for Todd for well over a year.
Was that for counseling, or was that for?
It was for counseling, and I was also getting the medication from him. That was the APRN I was seeing. So he did counseling in addition to the medication.
And what was the practice that he was in?
Initially, I don't remember the original place. It was
Some murder.
No, it was on Highland. I don't remember his original practice. He later ended up opening his own in Southington. He since has moved to another practice, so he's no longer in Southington. But the last time I saw him, either way, would have been 2015. I don't have any.
And you don't know whether he was affiliated with a neurology practice was he primary care? Was he psychiatry?
He was originally affiliated with, in part, at Waterbury Hospital, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. As well as another place that I do not remember the name of, but I don't know his actual, you know.
What's his last name? I'm going to Google him.
Perkins.
Perkins?
Yes.
And do you have a first name?
Todd.
Okay. I'll do a little Googling.
Other questions by the board?
So it's been almost 11 years since there's been any calls for service from the police?
Yes. The last time that there was a call from the police was, 2014 for as far as for anything that would have been...
That was January 14?
Yes, sir.
All right, so it's been 10 years, okay.
And as far as anything that was mental health related, excluding the three calls for medical assists and locking myself in the room, the last time for true self-harm was 2010.
And have you, when was the last time you saw a counselor or anything for, was that the person you're referring to, the APRN?
Yes, it was.
And so you stopped seeing that person in 2015?
Correct. Okay. I stopped the medications with him in 2014. He saw me for about a year to verify that I didn't re-need them. And then at that point, he said that he felt that I didn't need to be seen at that point in time. If I felt that things changed, reach out to him.
Is this him?
No. At least I don't recognize him if it is.
Todd A. Perkins?
Yes, Todd A. Perkins.
The psychiatric nurse practitioner.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Chief, did you have a question?
The issuing authority has presented a case of some mental health issues, suicide cutting from 2008 up until 2014, and I understand you said that's not the case in 2014, but there was a period there. Tell us about your suicide thoughts. When was the first time you had suicide thoughts?
Shortly after the brain injury, so maybe 2007, early 2008.
And when was the last time?
The last time was the 2008. The last time was 12/7 of 2008 was the last time I had suicidal thoughts.
All right, that's the last time the police were involved in a 2000.
That was the last time.
And that's the other issue. We have, you know, these incidents, which are quite a lot, but my guess is they're not the only times. You must have had similar thoughts, cutting behaviors, in between the time the police were actually called. Is that correct?
Correct. I did have depression at that time. I didn't have suicide attempts. As far as self-harm cutting, I don't recall other instances. Those were the ones, the main ones I remember. I don't recall any.
When you were having suicide thoughts, did you think about how you would do it?
No, I did not. I just knew that. Didn't want to be around anymore, but I didn't have any particular thought on
that. Just, Mr. Punt, see that microphone in front of you?
Oh,
yeah. Thank you. Perfect. All right, go ahead.
I didn't have any particular thoughts. The only exception to that was the one in 2000. The 12/7/2008. I did have thoughts of jumping off a bridge at that point in time. I got counseling after that event.
Okay. Did you ever think of using a firearm?
No.
Were there firearms in your home?
No.
Can you see how difficult it is for this board without the medical records to substantiate this? How difficult that's going to be?
As I said, I did attempt to get them. I tried multiple times over 2 months. I was ultimately told that they did not keep records beyond 10 years.
For me personally, those records are important, but more important would be a more current evaluation by somebody saying, listen, I understand this background. This is what happened. It's been 10 years. Things are good. And he's safe to carry a firearm. Something like that would be very, very helpful to me to feel comfortable with.
That's something that I would need to. I haven't seen anybody more recently, so to actually...
You would have to go to somebody.
In order to produce that, yes.
Yeah, I understand how difficult that can be, but it certainly would help you a lot. It would help you personally, probably, but it would help the board make an informed decision here today, too. So, thank you.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, sir, would you like to call your father?
Yes, I would. So on the 2012 instance, did I physically attack you or make any threats to kill you?
You did not physically attack me. There was a verbal altercation. We were arguing, but no physical threat was done. I did not feel that at the time that my life was in danger. That was an issue much more with my wife. She felt, you know, when things got animated, she would get agitated, and then she would call the police. In retrospect, I don't think that was always the right decision. You know, I would like to make the point that in the last 10 years, we've had no contact with the police. We've been able to, you know, if there's been an argument, which has been very, very few, or none, they've been handled internally and with respect. They don't escalate out of control. Kyle's self-control now is much better than it was when he was an adolescent. You know, adolescent behavior is challenging. I think you'd all agree with that. I wouldn't be sitting here testifying in his behalf if I thought he was a risk to the community. I really wouldn't. You asked if there was a gun in the home. No. I've never had a gun in my home. I've never felt that it was necessary. But that's, in my mind, it's a personal decision. And I supported the decision if the board approves his request.
And also, on 4/29 of 2013, do you recall any physical threats to yourself or?
Not a physical threat. If I felt that I was physically threatened, I would have taken a different action, and I would not have heard you back in the home at that time.
To your knowledge, have there been any other instances of self-harm after 2010?
Not to my knowledge. A lot of the arguments that date back to those times were over cigarettes, the car, things that should have, coming home at a certain time. You know, his mother would be very controlling. She sought the police as a mediator to mediate the problems when they escalated out of control. When I was home, there was very few or no calls to the police because just didn't need it. The only time that I do recall calling at least once, maybe twice. But those instances, things had just escalated beyond something that we could resolve ourselves at that time. It should not have gone to that extreme. And like I said, Kyle's graduated from adult ed, graduated from Naugatuck Valley Community College, got an associate degree. He's getting his bachelor's degree in computer information systems this year. He's been responsible. He's done everything that he said he's going to do, and he's done it in a good way. I'm actually very proud of him. The traumatic brain injury caused a lot of the issues. And it can take years to recover from it. Everyone's different as a result of a brain injury. And he was going through adolescence at the same time. Are you gonna when a person for things that were beyond his control. I hope not. I think he's shown that he's done a lot of things right. I'm proud of him as a son. I'm proud of the things that he's accomplished.
I'd also like to expand on that last point that he made. As I said, I will be completing my bachelor's degree. I've also been employed continuously from 2014 to the present. I sent in a character reference I received from my boss stating that there had been no issues with behavior, anything to that effect. Clearly, if I was still having a lot of the ongoing issues that the police have spoken about, I would not have been gainfully employed, continuously completing a bachelor's degree or about to complete a bachelor's degree without events happening. The self-harm, the depression, that has all resolved. It's been resolved for years. As I stated, I was never diagnosed with bipolar. Definitely not bipolar. Unfortunately, outside of, as was stated, with a current medical eval, I can't exactly show that. That's the truth. I don't have any further questions.
Sergeant Cross?
No.
Board, any questions?
I do. Do you currently live with your parents?
So I was living on my own with my girlfriend up until 2018 when my mom passed away. I then moved in to assist my dad with the bills. So it's now me, my girlfriend, and my dad living in the house.
I'm sorry about the loss of your mom. I was going to ask why your mother wasn't here, and I wondered if she had passed away. So
she,
I'm sorry to hear that.
She did in 2018.
Can I share some thoughts?
Yeah, sir.
You know, as a family, we've had some very difficult times. As Kyle stated, my wife passed away April 30th. Of 2018. My daughter, who was staying with me, passed away October 5th, 2018. And her daughter passed away a month later. We had three losses, and this young man was a rock during that time. I was a puddle. And he supported me emotionally and helped me go through that very difficult time. If he was fragile, things would not have gone well. I just needed to make that point to you folks. Thank you.
I'm glad you had your son to help you out during that difficult time.
That was the worst time of my life.
Thank you.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. I would like to just restate that the most recent self-harm related to cutting or anything mental health related in that regard was in 2010. It's now been nearly 14 years. Most of the other events were phone calls that did not need to be made. They were not mental health related. And I have been off of all of those medications and without any incidents from 2014 through now. I've been gainfully employed. No issues. I hope that my more recent actions speak more than the past events when I was a teenager.
Sergeant?
Yeah, the issue and authority presented 10 incidents, most involving suicide attempts, suicide threats, disorderly behavior. And we did note that the last incident did occur 10 years prior to today, which prompted me to call the appellant and look into this matter further. I mean, in these reports, by his own admission, he was being treated for depression, was on meds, not med compliant. We heard anxiety, PTSD, bipolar disorder. So one of my big things that I had spoken to the appellant about was, we don't have any diagnosis, we don't have any treatment, we don't have any plans. There was nothing that put the issuing authority at ease during this 10-year period to say he's continuing treatment, following treatment, or just a diagnosis that maybe it was a traumatic brain injury. The only question I want the board to ponder is, when is the next trigger? When is the next event? We have no diagnosis to confirm that. We don't know if this was traumatic brain injury. We don't know if this is anxiety, PTSD, bipolar. Had we had medical proof, maybe the issuing authority would have felt more comfortable. I don't think the board should feel comfortable issuing at this time due to those reasons of lack of medical treatment. He had a history of being diagnosed with depression, not being med compliant. I think without medical proof, I just feel like we don't know when the next event's gonna happen. We don't know what's going inside the brain. He should have saw a neurologist. He should have saw some type of mental health professional, and we have none of that today. So the issuing authority hopes that you uphold our denial.
Thank you, Sergeant. Brief factual.
Sure. This is a denial by the Waterbury Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial were approximately 10 calls for service received by the Waterbury Police Department. In April of 2008, December of 2008, there were 2 calls for suicide calls to the regarding the appellant. Both resulted in emergency committals. There was another one in 2009 that resulted in an emergency committal regarding cutting, the 4th in July of 2010, which the appellant had a cut on his, I believe, left shoulder. That also resulted in an emergency committal. There were 3 incidences in 2011, calls for service. They did not result in emergency committals or any type of arrests. There was an incident in February of 2012. A lieutenant from the Waterbury Police Department testified regarding a complaint from the appellant's mother in which they had a disagreement or an argument over a vehicle and allegedly threatened to kill his parents. He was arrested for disorderly conduct, and it appears those charges were later dismissed. There were 2 more calls for service to the appellant's home, April of 2013 and January of 2014. Did not result in any arrests or emergency committals. The appellant testified that he suffered an assault, or he read that in the report, but he has resulted in a traumatic brain injury in 2006. He received counseling from that, put on antidepressants, seemed to work with a APRN, is that correct? Yep, through 2015, I believe. He articulated, did discuss many of the incidents regarding that were discussed. Some, the one he discussed in 2013 was he had smoked marijuana and had an interaction with the anti-seizure medication he was on. Stated that the occurrence in 2010 was not a suicide attempt. There have been no calls for service or any issues since at least 10 years. The last emergency committal was in July of 2010. The appellant has been working continuously with the same employer for 10 years. He's lived with his father and longtime girlfriend at the father's home. The father spoke very highly of them and says he does not feels that he is a good candidate to have a pistol permit.
comments by the board?
Typically, in a situation like this, I like to see medical records or a more current evaluation by a specialist with reference to traumatic brain injury and psychiatric conditions, just to confirm the absence of any factors that would put you or the public at risk with a firearm. However, this is a more complicated case for me today, given the passage of time, your continuous employment, with reference from your employer, the fact that you subsequently completed your associate's degree and are now on the verge of completing your bachelor's degree in computer science.
Yes.
Indicates to me that whatever sequelae to the traumatic brain injury that you had in 2006 has resolved enough for you to be quite functional. I was also impressed that with the familial stressors that you and your father experienced in 2018, if you had bipolar disorder or major depression or a serious anxiety disorder, I agree with your father.
You would have
decompensated, and you wouldn't have been the pillar of support that apparently you were for your dad at that point in time. So those are the considerations that I'm going to use when I entertain my vote.
Other comments, Chief?
The issuing authority put on a case of threats, suicide thoughts, attempts, and cutting over a period of time between 2008 and 2014 involving the police. The appellant presents very well today. He appears honest, straightforward. He's very willing to talk about this stuff. And his father is also very supportive, which is very powerful. The thing I'm going to struggle with, as I already said, was the lack of medical documentation, especially a current medical evaluation. It's very difficult for me to say, based on this short period of time, that, yeah, things are okay. The appellant got a continuance and was not able to obtain medical records from the time, and there was no current medical documentation available either. So I agree with the doc on almost everything she says. She'd gone to school, got a job, lived through some traumatic things with your family. All those things are great, but I'm still, that lack of a current medical evaluation is important to me.
Other comments?
I concur with both the chief and the doctor regarding their concern for the lack of medical records. The sergeant mentioned, when would the next trigger be? And I thought if there'd be another trigger, it would have been 2018. That was the only thing that I'm considering. I sort of put a lot of weight on.
I'm curious, Doctor, what do you think about the medical records not being available after 10 years? Is that normal?
I think Waterbury Hospital is in big trouble these days. They were taken over by a for-profit entity that has now sold the property from underneath them. The hospital had to lease it back. They're in considerable debt. The Animal Haven system is looking to buy them, and is now unsure on whether that's a reasonable financial risk to take. I think they're a mess, and I think that probably influenced why the appellant could not get medical records. I think that the current administration is in disarray.
And I was actually going to ask you that same question. That's not normal. I mean, medical records go back far beyond 10 years, right?
They're oftentimes microfiched, yeah. But with the with what's happened to Waterbury Hospital over the past number of years, and you guys would know better than I, I'm concerned that the house is in disarray, and They should have been able to come up with something.
And as invaluable as those would have been to me, something current would have been even more helpful.
In my view, if the appellant had presented differently and if he didn't have the support of his father, the records or a current evaluation would be a critical piece for me. But as I expressed earlier, I think the circumstances of this case are different for me.
Yeah, I think that's the struggle. What happened back then till now, and how he presents and dad's support.
The behaviors described are very consistent with the sequelae of a traumatic brain injury in the early years, and I'm not sure that even back then Waterbury Hospital treated you appropriately. I would have sent you to a neuropsychologist for neuropsychological testing, and I would have had you see more of a specialist in traumatic brain injury for some follow-up counseling and evaluation of whether there was a role for psychotropic medications at that time. But your current presentation indicates to me that those earlier issues appear to have been resolved, and your brain had enough plasticity to fix itself in many ways. And I have a PhD in neurobiology as well as a board certification in psychiatry. So I think I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, I would just add, I have a JD in law, and I thought you actually did a great job presenting the case, which is impressive given that it's very nerve-wracking to sit here in front of this board with all these people and all these people watching. And a lot of people don't follow the direction very well. That was very impressive. So I think that says a lot about how far you've come. So no other comments? Dr. Conrad?
I'm going to vote for the appellant. I do want to say that I do recognize the concern that the issuing authority has to take in reviewing their documentation, and my vote for the appellant in no way besmirches the reputation of Waterbury and your role, Sergeant, in reviewing cases. I've been very impressed with your work since I've been sitting on the board, and you've appeared before us.
Thank you.
Colonel Overturf.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig?
For the reasons I said, I can't. I do not have the doc's background to make the evaluation here today as we sit, and we don't have something current, so I have to go with the issuing authority.
Okay, and echoing what Dr. Conrad said about the issuing authority, I will vote for the appellate. That is 4-1 in favor of the appellate.
Thank you.